Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 on the show here. Let us get to our headlines, which are brought to you by Doral Kia. Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory at the Sportage, Sorrento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. Miami Heat, if you're just tuning in today, they have made a trade. They have acquired Norman Powell in a three-teamer. In exchange, they send Kevin Love and Kyle Anderson to the Utah Jazz, who then flip John Collins to the LA Clippers. Clippers send, I believe, a second-round pick to Utah. So the Heat, they come out of here with the best player in the trade for two guys who, I mean, we're not guys who are going to get a ton of action this year anyway. So great trade by the Miami Heat. Norman Powell with a tremendous season last year, very much a borderline all-star in a stacked Western Conference, and much needed scoring and shooting punch for Miami. That's where we're at with that. Yesterday was the second Summer League game. Heat lost brutally to the Clippers. Tough day for Kasparis Jakachionis, as he did not, he has not impressed thus far in his first two games. But everybody knows Summer League doesn't really start until Las Vegas. You know, that's when the true Summer League gets going. Even the champs last year, you know, they used California to try some things out. But I will say, maybe I'm overreacting to this. Okay, maybe I am. But my biggest concern wasn't even Jakachionis yesterday, because he's a kid. It's a child.
Okay.
Right? Kalel Ware yesterday, if you just watched the game on Twitter, man, that dude had some highlights. He had like a spinning step back three. I was like, whoa, that was something.
That's okay, Leroy. We'll just sit here while you pour.
Keep talking, dummy.
Literally, like you're pouring water right into our ears. It's like ASMR. Like we are here. It sounds like we're on a water slide. Marcos, get that sound back. I want you to have that. So
why are you so dramatic?
Because I want you to realize what it sounds like when you ASMR to all of our audience. Are you like, are we serious about this right now? That's
great. Hey, he needs to make his juice, Tobin. Back off.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. He just sits back here and he's just like, he thinks,
no, I would have even noticed if you'd just kept going.
How is it? No. You see, this is where you're ridiculous. Of course we'd all notice. It's impossible not to notice. It sounded like we all were in your container.
That was something.
Transferring.
Okay, literally, from we'll just sit here while you pour.
Can't hear nothing.
Play it again.
No, Friday. I mean, I'm going to go 2 seconds back because you really need to hear the pouring part. No,
you need to hear the
yeah, I want to make sure that I get the actual pouring part because it did sound.
It sounded like rain on a tin roof. It's crazy. Ow. It's crazy to me. Like, yes, every show. You sit back here and you're just like, how can I put the most sound effects into my microphone? And I don't, because it's your microphone's in a weird position. It's like low, but that's where you do your pouring. And so we're all just subjected to you and your water. But my biggest concern wasn't even Jakachionis yesterday, because he's a kid. It's a child.
Okay.
Right? Kalel Ware yesterday. If you just watched the game on Twitter, man, that dude had some highlights. He had like a spinning step back three. I was like, whoa, that was something.
That's okay, Leroy. We'll just sit here while you pour.
You can barely hear it.
No, dude, you are kidding me with this.
Dude, if you would have kept talking, there would have been nothing.
Or you could mute your mic. I don't understand. Like, it's just, you don't want to just, like, I'm trying to sit here and have a conversation with you.
I was in stealth mode. I'm just sitting, like,
I'm trying to have a conversation with you. I love you to death. I'm trying to have a conversation with you about what I saw yesterday. And you're just sitting here and just like,
that's not,
it's just like, it, nothing connotes. I don't give a rat's ass about what you're saying more than let me make my beverage transfer. Man, that dude had some highlights. He had like a spinning step back three. I was like, whoa, that was something.
That's okay, Leroy. We'll just sit here while you pour.
I mean, it's not that egregious of a sound.
It's an egregious sound.
No, it's not.
It's an egregious sound.
If you would have kept going and not said anything, nobody would have said,
You want to know something? And you want to know something? If it was the first time you did it, maybe I would have let it pass. But you know what it's like? It's like, hey, I see you holding. You got to stop doing that. Or hey, I see you holding. How many times have I talked about the ASMR?
A lot.
So many times, you can only get so many warnings from the ref.
Got to keep those hands inside, Leroy.
That's a legal formation.
Once you get on the outside of the shoulder pad, it's holding. Football.
You're going to make me call it. You're going to make me call it. Anyway. So, Kalel Ware yesterday.
Let's get back to exhilarating summer league talk.
Look. I'm sitting here, and Kalel Ware, you know, he's telling reporters this week, and he goes, I want to show the Miami Heat that they made the right decision not trading me for Kitty. I'm like, you know what? I like that, Kalel. That's some good stuff to put in the ether. And the coach, Eric Glass, whose hair is pristine, great hair. All right. He really looks like he could be Superman. Handsome fella. He said over the last couple of days, he's like, I really want Kalel Ware to come here, show it, because I don't know how many games he's going to play, but I want him to come here, show he's the real deal, and I want him to dominate. And there's certainly been moments where he's done dominant stuff. But something didn't sit well with me, with him yesterday, coming out of that game where they were getting waxed. And he played 28 minutes, 3 rebounds.
I hate that.
Something about it just
doesn't look right.
Didn't look right. It just didn't look right. I'm not sitting here. I'm not going to whine about it. But I was just like.
You are kind of whining about it, though.
I don't think that. Does that reek of domination to you? 3 rebounds? He's the tallest guy on the court by a lot. By a lot. And he kind of had a similar game. Like the game before, the first game, you could tell. Like he was in cruise control. And then the fourth quarter came and he kind of took over. He was like, SWAT, SWAT, steal buckets. And I was like, God, that's what I'm talking about.
That's the Jimmy factor. So now they all think they can turn it on when the game's tight in the fourth quarter.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know. Just something about it. I was like, 3 rebounds? I feel like if Udonis Haslem sees that, he punches a wall if he sees that box score.
LeBron getting 10, UD getting 10 rebounds like it's nothing. Because that's his environment right there. The hustle plays, the fight like hell in the paint. That's what he does.
Bronny James played 10 minutes yesterday, had 10 points. He had one less rebound than Kalel Ware. I don't know. I'm not overreacting. I'm not like going to be crazy about it. But I'm just like, I just think that if the coaches are coming out there, they're like, hey, come out there and dominate. Show it. And then it's like, I'll show it when I feel like it. That's what it feels like. It, you know? I'll show it when I feel like it. Maybe he's like, and look, he's by far the most talented guy in both of these games. He definitely probably doesn't need summer league. I agree. He probably doesn't need summer league. Maybe he's bored. But you are there. Like, if you're there, can we kind of just, you know, carry that a little bit? If I'm being unreasonable, let me know. But I don't know. Did you do you have a Coach Glass yesterday, Marcos? Do you have what Coach Glass said after the game? Here's Mr. Glass talking about Kalel Ware's efforts in game 2.
Offensively, it was such a cluster because of the turnovers and the pressure. It's hard to really get an assessment on anybody. We got to come back on Tuesday with a much better plan to get these guys in positions of strength. I think defensively, he had his moments where he was a dominant threat at the rim, you know, protecting, and then other times, you know, he wasn't getting rebounds, and And he'll be the first one to tell you that. So I think he can definitely take it up a notch. And we're seeing flashes, but I'd like to see it more consistently.
Fair.
That's all. Uh-huh. Mm.
Sounds like a coach who's all there, though. Sounds like he's ready for the assistant role.
He is already an assistant.
Kick everybody upstairs, baby.
What do you mean, dude? I don't like that you do the thumb thing. I don't like where the thumb goes.
It's perfect, man. Glass. He seems to get it.
Creepy movie.
What, Mr. Glass?
Yeah. Samuel Jackson.
Also, I know that's his last name, but it just kind of seems like Tobin was like insulting his durability, but...
It's literally like if he was introduced to somebody, his name would be Mr. Glass. That's his name.
Oh, check out Mr. Glass. Who are we picking next on the team, guys? Oh,
I started the segment saying his hair is pristine and he's handsome.
Yes, no, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's just, you know, unfortunate. But, look, I'm the one who's advocating for him to get a role on the bench. You just, you know, send everybody upstairs.
Already does, though. He's already sitting on the bench, right?
Gonzalo says, you know Tobin went to sleep thinking about that summer league game. No, I didn't lose sleep over it. Stop. Like, let's not get crazy.
No, you know. Hey, the way you were talking about that game, you got frustrated.
You think that I'm the meme where, like, I'm sitting in bed with Mrs. Tobin and she's looking at it and she goes, he's probably thinking about another woman. And I'm thinking to myself, Kalel Ware only had 3 rebounds in a summer league game.
28 minutes,
3 rebounds. Like, that's like not trying to the fullest, because how do 4 rebounds not find you accidentally as the 7'1" guy on a court with a bunch of 6'8" people? How does 4 rebounds not accidentally fall into your lap?
That's true.
That's it. He did do a cool, like, he got a rebound and then he sprinted down the court. And, like, he did, like, this give and go. The guard he gave it to, his name escapes me. I think it was, like, I feel bad about it now. What the hell is the guy's name? But anyway, he set him up for a really sick lob. Marcus Williams, I think, is who it was. And he had some sick-ass highlights. It really does feel like he's flipping it on whenever he wants. But that's not what they want him to do. They just kind of want, they're just testing him. Hey. Come out here, own these dudes, and then let's get you back home. We don't need you to go to Vegas. But instead, it's kind of like, I'll just coast. And you know me, I love me some Kalel Ware.
I get it, but maybe that's just the speed of a big.
Maybe.
You know what makes me nervous about that? When he was coming out, there were, you know, a lot of good things to like about him. There was some accusations of laziness that
Motor.
I'm not saying he's lazy. Yeah, I don't think he's lazy. He's a professional athlete. He's young. He's doing whatever he does. Does way more
than
that.
Yeah, but what big has that that ridiculous amount of athleticism?
Bam.
Well, Bam's a bad example because right. He makes every big look bad because, yes, he's... That's literally why everybody's like, no, just play like Bam. Yeah. This is the thing that people don't realize with Bam, because people are like, oh, Bam, you're so soft. But the thing that Bam does that makes everybody look terrible is he never stops playing hard. He never misses games.
Right.
And he's playing guys way bigger than him and is playing them very, very well. And so all these guys come in here and they're like, yeah, just play like Bam. And they're like, oh, what? That's what you want me to do? Like, it's not, but I'm not even asking him to play like Bam. I'm just asking for 5 rebounds in 28 minutes. Could I get 5? Can I get 5 rebounds?
He should be flirting with a double double by then.
That's what I'm saying. And so I don't think it's a talent thing. I kind of just feel like he's like, am I over this summer league thing? Like, do I really need this? And he probably doesn't. But I think they're kind of just like, hey, go out there, do your thing, and like crush these dudes. But it, to be fair, what Glass said, like, hey, that offense was, those guys were getting turned over by the Lakers yesterday.
Oof.
Is that enough summer league talk for today?
Yes.
Yeah, that's enough summer league talk. California summer league talk.
Totally fair. Can I talk about the next game when it comes up?
Yeah.
Also, not a true loss. Didn't have Pella, didn't have Keyshawn, you know.
I mean, it's California.
Didn't play Vlad Golden.
What? Didn't play? Why didn't
no, played, no, I don't know why he got the second day off. That's a little strange. We played somebody named Dane Danger.
Oh, yeah. I remember him.
Dane Danger.
Yeah. I just liked his name. I
thought they would like the call.
That's good.
Take a break. More to come here on the show. We're back after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Miami Heat making a deal today. They get Norman Powell from the Clippers, 3-teamer. Kevin Love, he's still posting on social media. He's going through it right now. He's going through it at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. He's going through the list of options that can get him to LA. This guy's gonna be a Laker.
Like Lakers or Knicks, right? Like, yeah, that's where he's going. He's gonna be in a big city.
It's Lakers or retire for him, because I think at this point in his career he wants to do something that he enjoys to do. Even if he's gonna be tweeting off, you know, on the bench, he's not gonna want to go to Thibodeau.2 in or Thibodeau 2.0 in New York and potentially have to like run and stuff. He just kind of wants to chill, you know?
You don't think Eric Spoelstra had him trying to run?
No, I don't. I don't think so. I think he's kind of just like, yeah, you know.
You know what? When I bought into the fact that I was a third down and short yardage back, my training took a hit.
Did it?
Yeah, for sure.
When I got to that 3rd and 37, I'm like, damn, flashback.
Crazy. Well, the Miami Heat getting into some action. Sorry, Kevin. You know, it was a great time. Enjoy the vibes. And I'm sure they will enjoy them in LA or New York or wherever.
What was his highlight moment as a member of the Heat? It's got to be his Instagram post, doesn't it?
Like, I mean, that was probably the best run. That's probably the best run on Instagram was just vibes during the Jimmy Butler saga.
Yeah.
Which means he probably gets along with everybody, right?
He does get along with everybody. He was a connector of people. And I think that was probably one of the biggest values that he brought, was that presence in the locker room. But certainly was going to be looking at a year where, like, if you look at the roster, like, is he really going to play? Like, probably not. Especially if they were even if they weren't leaning young, I don't know how much Kevin Love was going to play this year.
Right.
So to turn that into somebody like Norman Powell and something you actually really need, slam dunk. Great job by the Heat to get that done.
Now we could just take care of some other matters. Terry Rozier off the roster. Andrew Wiggins. Wink.
Just to name Max. It's early.
It is early. It is early. The ESPN today dropped their top 10 running backs, Leroy. Does that give you the goosies? Devon Achan was an honorable mention.
Okay.
He was honorable mention. He did not make their top 10.
I can see it. Give me the top 10, and I'll tell you if it's accurate.
10, Alvin Kamara. 9, Joe Mixon.
He's kind of falling off, but I would take Achan over him at this point in their career.
Mixon or Kamara?
Kamara.
9, Joe Mixon. 8, James Cook.
Yeah.
7, Jonathan Taylor.
Wow, he'd be higher on my list.
6, Josh Jacobs.
Yep.
5, the flying intangible Christian McCaffrey.
I mean, he hasn't played football in a year. How can he? All right.
Number 4, Bijan Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
3, Jahmyr Gibbs.
Mm-hmm.
2, Derrick Henry.
Saquon
still
Barkley.
Doing it.
Yeah.
And number 1, Saquon Barkley. Yeah.
Solid.
Deserve for Saquon Barkley.
Mm-hmm. I would say the thing that Saquon has over who's number 2 again? I forgot.
Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry. He's younger. Isn't Derrick Henry like 32 now?
Yeah, I think he's going to be 30, he's 31, but I think I don't know when he turns 32.
Yeah.
He's so, also the size of a horse.
Yeah, I know, but the horses break down too. So yeah, I like the list. I would have probably have Achane in the top 10, and I would take
I would take Kamara off
simply because he is like old school Bijan, does a little bit of everything. Right? I don't think about this. I don't think Alvin Kamara ever had a 1,000-yard season.
Rushing?
Yeah.
He is not.
Yeah. So, like, to make him the 10th, I think you get more value out of having Achane. Achane does a little bit more. The only question I would have is,
it's kind of like the ideal comparison, though. Like, a guy who's going to do, he's probably going to be in, like, you know, the 900, 500 range would be like the place where you want him, right?
Yeah, but in both, then he might have 700 or 800 yards receiving.
Right.
Right. That's perfect.
So that's what we got for that. But I saw Tua dropped in the, he's still in the top 100, but he dropped from 36 to 91 on the top 100.
Jeez.
91.
91. They think there's 91 players in the NFL better than him.
That's what that list means. And that's voted by the players.
Yeah. Telling you. I know I talk crap about his mobility and his horrible, horrible offseason in regards to working out and stuff. But I really think he's going to have a great year if he stays healthy.
When you say horrible offseason, you mean him drinking on a boat once?
Well, I mean, I think we saw him at multiple parties, a concert. He flicked off that old lady. Maybe
he didn't. What?
Maybe that didn't happen. Maybe
he would never do that to an old lady.
Maybe I dreamt that.
But Tua's the type of guy that would help an old lady across the street.
Yeah, yep. He would. Tell you, though, there's something about him this year. No bleeps given.
I mean, he shouldn't have any bleeps given. Especially this is definitely got to be a less stressful year than last year's was with the whole contract thing lingering.
I promise you that once they get on that football field, they ain't thinking about money. They just think about playing football. Because you know who doesn't want to hear about his contract woes?
Who?
The other guys on his team.
Yeah.
Especially if they're trying to get one.
I think the one that's that you're probably thinking about is the one that's like the only contract issues that they really have to resolve left is Sealer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they better pay him.
No,
they
but that would suck. Him. That would suck that you get all this money and you go out and basically you draft other guys, pay them, and don't pay your own guy. That has to suck.
Yeah, you just also have like what, like this isn't a tight end situation. Like, you know, you're not gonna have, I don't even know, like who would come out of retirement. Like there's no defensive tackle who's coming out of retirement right to even think you could be fledging. Like they better fix that issue because if he does hold out, like unless you're just thinking he's going to be, you know, sheriff, he's just going to show up doing his Zach Sealer thing. Like, I don't think so, man. I know like they've leaned into him as like being the face of culture change and leader and all that type of stuff that he's going to take that mantle. But I think if you're going to make a decision to invest in somebody, you got to do it with him.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. Mix things up on the other side. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Oh, hello, Jennifer.
Hello, Tobin. Hello.
What do you think about the trade? Are you excited?
Does this mean I lose my chances of Gabe Vincent?
I don't think so.
Or is it still too early to tell?
That was the Wiggins trade. I don't know. I don't think this necessarily means the idea of trading Andrew Wiggins is off the table. So I would say no. I don't think that's completely ruled out yet, though I don't know that to be a thing. I do think it's, I think people have mentioned today on social media probably, Riley, is like it seems like a lot of the leak trades never seem like that's really where it's going to go with the Heat. They always shock you and surprise you.
They always sneak up on you. Then I don't hate it.
Remember the most surprised I was with a Heat move and a Shams bomb? Was them signing Kelly Olynyk to a multi-year deal out of nowhere. And I was like, what?
Still playing.
Never saw that one coming. Kevin Love has weighed in on Instagram. And he has gone with the, of course, famous scene from Joe Dirt, where he is yelling at Joe Dirt. Is that Kid Rock yelling at Joe Dirt?
Yes.
Yep.
That's right, Dirt. Nobody wants you in this town. Nobody wants you around, period. Oh, look at him, fellas. You crying, boy? You crying, boy? Maybe we'll go back down to McDonald's and get you a Whamburger and some French fries. How about a Wineken? You little sissy boy! Def Leppard sucks!
Wow. Maybe we did lose the trade. Maybe we did lose the trade.
By the way,
we lost our entertainment for sure.
Joe Dirt. Good movie.
Wouldn't it be funny if you put like the players' faces or.
Yeah. Joe Dirt for sure. Napoleon Dynamite.
Ooh.
Which movie's better?
You know what?
Joe Dirt.
I'm going to say Joe Dirt had more of a storyline. Napoleon Dynamite was funny, but it's like some guy did a dance.
Just random things. Yeah,
exactly. Why is that the two that you go with? It's just, I don't really even see the comparison. First two.
What do you mean? Why did I go with the two?
Why is that like the why throw those two together?
Because they're both unrealistic funny movies with guys. Like, yes, yeah, it's similar in that aspect. That, I mean, did you think you watched Joe Dirt for a touching moment?
Hold on, Joe Dirt got the waterworks going at a certain point.
I've got to say I've never seen it, so I can't even contribute to that.
Wow. You know, well,
but it's not surprising.
The list.
It's a good movie.
Let us get to Froggy the Mixed Bag. What do we got today, Marcos?
Righty then. Let us begin with the news that is sweeping the nation. Everyone is talking about this. I'm sure you guys had your own conversation about it this weekend. McDonald's introducing the spicy egg McMuffin.
What?
A spicy breakfast?
A spicy McMuffin.
That's a gamble.
So is it sauce or the sausage is spicy?
So it launches tomorrow, and it's featuring spicy pepper sauce. So it's going to have a spicy sausage and a little bit of sauce on it.
I'm out.
What?
I don't need that much rumbling that early.
That's early in the morning.
That's fair.
That's a lunchtime problem.
I ate a hot sausage this morning. Nothing.
Wait. Oh, you're not talking about like the one that comes in the jar, right?
No, that's disgusting.
It's there. Just me.
I don't touch nothing that's dipped in formaldehyde.
Good though. Had a pickled egg the other day. Solid. So good.
Oof.
Disgusting.
What else you got in the mixed bag?
Let's check in on our favorite Canes quarterback. That is Cam Ward, our favorite. I haven't seen Carson Beck throw a ball, just a bunch of weird texts. But Cam Ward currently in a QB battle with Mr. Mayo himself, Will Levis. That's not a battle to me either, but this is how it's going in Tennessee.
If you're a ball player, if you, you know, love this game, then, you know, Will's just not going to sit over here and say, oh, we drafted him, go ahead, take it. And Cam's not going to expect it to be just given to him. You know, and throughout the spring, I think that's the one thing that, you know, all the coaches and players on the team have seen, like both of them taking the challenge of like trying to really earn the spot and really fight for the spot. And, you know, it just made them better. You know, you can see the improvements from Will and you can see the sharpness of Cam. So, and Cam's taking a lot more of a leadership understanding of taking accountability. The team goes as the quarterback goes. So, you know, in that regard, setting the tone. And, you know, I told the reporter when I was in Tennessee during OTAs, you know, Jeff, you know, he's not going to let the rookie just walk on the field without, you know, letting him know what's up. And Cam didn't back down to that. You know, he actually headbutted Jeff to let him know that, I'm here. Like, I'm not a regular quarterback that's just going to, you know, sit behind the O-line and the big guys. Like, if you want to, you know what I mean? He's there. So, you know, that gets you fired up. You know, you got a guy back there who's doing stuff like that. So, and especially just all the quarterbacks back there really elevating themselves in level of play.
Hmm. That was J.C. Latham, offensive lineman for the Titans. How do you feel hearing your starting quarterback headbutt the starting star defensive lineman in practice? Me, personally, that's tough.
That's tough.
I mean, all right.
Come on, Leroy. He headbutted Jeffrey Simmons. Like,
we knew a guy that headbutted before every game and drew blood.
Yeah, but he wasn't. Oh,
if he does that, that makes him the toughest quarterback.
Come on, exactly. Quarterbacks don't do that, Leroy. Quarterbacks are like, you know, God forbid our quarterback headbutted Zach Sealer. I don't even want to know what happened to him.
All I know is Will Levis sucks, and that okay. One thing I've realized is I've never been so upset for somebody to get hurt in a game, because when Mason Rudolph came in, I thought, this is probably going to go better for the Titans than if they started Will Levis.
Yeah. And it did. And it did.
And it did. And it did.
Titans, got time for more?
Ruiner of the Dolphins' window.
Yeah. Well, you lose to the Titans. That's on you, buddy.
It's totally fair, but especially lose to the Titans and blow a lead on Monday Night Football. Oof. What else you got?
Got a little bit of baseball for you guys.
Okay.
Baseball.
Do you know who is in the 3,000 strikeout club?
Everybody?
No. There's only, I want to say, 20 guys, right?
20 guys.
Yeah. I know that. I know who recently got in. I don't want to like step on your thing.
I appreciate that. Randy Johnson, Steve Carlton, CC Sabathia, and the pitcher who Tobin is probably referring to, Clayton Kershaw, are the only four left-handed pitchers in that club.
Ah,
Clayton Kershaw, the old 3,000 strikeout.
About time he got there.
Yeah, here's the call.
Kershaw called strike three. Open up the velvet rope and let him in. Clayton Kershaw is now the 20th member of the 3,000 strikeout club. A list so exclusive, we may never see a moment like this again.
He's right about that. Nobody's allowed to pitch like that anymore.
Yeah.
Like what?
Pitch innings.
Oh, yeah. There's certain guys, though, that just, like, they don't lather up till the third or fourth inning.
I don't know. I don't know if there's anybody going to do that, the wins anymore. I think a lot of those pitching records are going to be pretty sacred for a long time now, because of the way, like, just they go about it now with you know, when they take guys out, all that stuff. But congratulations, one of the legends for sure.
One of only three pitchers in the club to obtain the feat while staying with one team.
Wow. Who were the others? Stay with one team?
Yeah. That was Oyster Burns and...
No, I shouldn't have asked you.
Walter Johnson and Bob Gibson.
Hmm? All right. All right. All
right. Anywho, let's switch things on over in the mixed bag. Did you guys get a chance to watch the GOAT return to action on Friday?
You know, I did not, because I don't care about the hot dog eating contest.
Okay. Wow.
I actively avoid that.
Actively avoid it. Wow. Okay. So no one
cares. I was too busy watching koalas.
Yeah, it's fair.
I quit watching it when they call these men and women athletes.
Well, it's an athletic feat, though. I mean, Joey Chestnut wolfed down 70 and a half hot dogs.
Not bad for taking a year off.
Not bad. His record was set in 21. He had 76 then. But he beat second place by 24 hot dogs.
It's amazing that nobody has really caught up to him, though, right? Like, you think about, I'll give Joey Chestnut this. You know, we see in every sport, it feels like, you know, somebody's coming along. And so you're talking about 17 years. A young kid could say, I want to be the next Joey Chestnut. And nobody's within even 25 of him.
No.
It just shows you his greatness. I mean, there is only one Joey Chestnut.
17th title.
Wow.
Anybody been more dominant in their quote-unquote sport than this guy?
I don't think so. I don't think so. No. I think that as far as hot dog eating is concerned, you know, I know that Kobayashi left under, you know, some scrupulous terms because he wanted to get money from other people, but even they've had head to head. So I think Joey Chestnut is the undeniable GOAT.
What about, in eating for sure. Well, how would you compare his success in competitive eating to Serena's success in tennis?
I would say I'm more impressed by Serena Williams because I'll actually watch tennis.
Why would you even ask that?
Hot dog eating.
What?
Obviously, it's more impressive, but like in regards to dominance, well, Serena, pretty good. Long story short.
Yeah, but Serena wasn't always number one. She had to go against other great hockey players.
Nobody's rivaled this guy.
No. I mean, not.
That's true. That's true. And it's not, well, except for Kobayashi, and then they got him out of there real quick. But either way, the GOAT
returns. I can't believe all the contract disputes there are in this eating.
Me either.
Right? Like, yeah.
I would feel like anybody who wants to actually do this, I would welcome to the hot dog eating contest. To ban anybody, be like, we're not going to let you do that if you eat another competition. It's like, does anybody really know? I know Major League Eating is a thing. I know they probably like put it on Spike TV for a couple of years. Mm. When's the last time anybody's even watched anything from Major League Eating that's not the hot dog eating contest? Like, who cares if there's a contract dispute?
Jennifer did.
Even the PGA realized. What?
Didn't you say you watched it?
Watched
no,
what?
She said she purposely avoids it.
Oh.
No, why would I do that?
Yeah, it's gross. No, there's other aspects to it. Yeah, he's got the hot dog stuff down, but you know they got like drink an entire thing of lemonade and stuff like that. I believe the viral clip going around this year wasn't even Joey Chestnut winning or doing anything with hot dogs. It was some guy throwing up his entire life at the lemonade competition. That was gross, dude. After a certain point, I believe the guy who was next to him, Badlands Chugs, just kind of like motion him to like, can you leave? If you're just going to continue to vomit in front of this crowd, can you just like,
yeah, I know. Listen, I know our guys, after us, Hockman and Crowd, I know they're friends of the Major League Eating.
Yeah.
That's their, and we're happy to let them have that window. Like, you guys go right ahead. Cause I can't, like, we tried doing a chugging contest once. Leroy cheated. You did.
Leroy.
Yeah. Actually, sir.
But like, to even like, you know what I don't even like about the hot dog eating contest?
What?
I don't like that there's a method to eating the hot
dog. The dunking?
Yeah.
Oh, the dunking.
Nobody eats hot dogs like that. So it's stupid to me. Like, you should eat the bread as it is. No soaking the bread. And that should be, it should be, eat hot dogs like a normal person eats hot dogs. And then we see how many hot dogs you can eat.
Yeah.
Like, to do it with this. Soaking the buns, putting them down your throat like a pelican. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, no. Oh,
oh my God.
I don't know if I want to watch this. I don't know if I want to watch this. Oh,
it's still going. Oh, it's so much.
Well, it's after, a lot of acid.
After a while, he's like, "Hey, can you?" It's still literally the whole.
How would that even be?
I'm begging you to take that off.
Okay, I just want to say, escort him. After a while,
no. That's it. I don't want to see anymore.
His big ass body is like.
Of course, you're gonna go ahead and shame him.
His stomach is looking at him like, "Not today."
Oh man,
not good.
Hey, he that starts throwing up, and the girl next to him said, "Forget that." She put down her juice.
I am done.
Look, go back.
No.
Don't go back. Don't go back. We'll take a break. Well, before we take a break, if that guy needs to get that shirt dry cleaned, I know the perfect place where he can go.
Yes.
And that's our friends over at A&T Dry Cleaners. For the best dry cleaning in South Florida, use our friends over at A&T Dry Cleaners. The owner's Zara, that's our guy. You guys can call or text him anytime at 954-610-9383. That's 954-610-9383, Leroy.
They've been around 40 years. It's family owned. Mama is the seamstress on site. They can do same day sewing. Just give our call, 954-610-9383. They can pick up, drop off your. There is no excuse. They make it convenient for you.
Super convenient.
They service all of South Florida, Dade, Broward, and Southern Palm Beaches. And he's a fan of the show. So he wants to do this for you guys. 25% off if you mention Tobin and Leroy.
Whew. So you go in there, Leroy.
Right.
You mention our names. It's summertime. You guys want your wardrobe looking good. You're going on vacation. You want your wardrobe looking good for vacation, or you want to come back from vacation. You want to do all that laundry? Let A&T Dry Cleaners take care of it for you. We got back to school starting soon, all right? You need your uniforms taken care of. Use A&T Dry Cleaners. They'll take care of you. I got a new broadcast again coming up soon, Leroy. I got to get that suit looking right and pristine for the broadcast. I'm going to get a new shirt, though. I promise, for this time around. But I'm going to have them. I'm going to have them tailor the shirt.
4 or 5 shirts.
I know. I'm going to do that. But I know where I'm going to go, and that's going to go to our friends at A&T Dry Cleaners. Again, 954-610-9383. You can call or text Ara anytime. Once you use A&T Dry Cleaners, you're never going to want to launder your own clothes again.